Lanham, CNRI. I'm going to talk about digital object architecture. This is something we've been working on for quite a number of years. We're in the pick one category. We'd like to pick more than one, probably, or more appropriately, have more people, more than one, pick us. What we have is a group of information management tools that we think will be useful for the clearinghouse services. And what I'm mainly going to do is describe those tools and software that's available, projects they're in, et cetera. You will know more about their utility in Genie than I will, since I'm new to Genie. But listening to the talks over the last few days, it seems to me to be a variety, that there are a variety of places in which the stuff we can make available now is of potential use to you. So there are a number of components. The oldest and most mature of them, and certainly the one that's most widely deployed, is the handle system. This is an identifier resolution system, and I emphasize the resolution part. Creating unique identifiers is no great trick. Everyone has a wallet full of them. But to resolve the identifiers to current state data and to do it well is what we've been working on. Referential integrity is a word we started using in another NSF project, FIND, that lets you refer to objects even as lots of things move around. The objects themselves change, mutate, environments change, and so on. This is proven and in wide use today. The whole intent of those identifiers was to point to and allow management of digital objects. And we have a data model and a protocol. We've been working on this for a number of years as well. The most recent incarnation, we think, is the best of them. And it's in use in a DARPA project now. The idea here is a logical interface to heterogeneous information management and storage systems, a portal into different kinds of storage systems, integrate management systems, information management systems. There's built-in authentication encryption, which I'll get to, and it's used to address objects in or accessible through a digital object repository. So I was listening to the instrumentation talk and thinking about this stuff. The repository implements the DO data model and protocol. And I'll show a logical picture of an object in a minute. Portal into multiple information and storage systems. So we've attempted to provide integration and federation across a bunch of different things. Security is at the object level, and the objects can be securely shared. That's one of the big aspects of the DARPA project. They want to be able to share things securely. Those two, the give things a name and have a standard approach to accessing them, getting them, handle onto things, make it as simple as possible, give it a name and talk to it, sort of, are really the core of the infrastructure. What we've built on top of that is a registry, a digital object registry, slightly higher up in the stack. And the idea there was to provide a way to build services, including discovery primarily, across multiple repositories of objects. And as I'll point out a little later in the talk, the line between registry and repository tends to fuzz a little bit if you have a registry that you put the objects into. It's as though your old library card catalog had the books there as well. So you can move things around among the components in this architecture. It's operational as well. It's currently in use by US DOD personnel and readiness for managing training and educational material. So I'll talk first about the handle system. Again, it's a resolution system. Go from object name to current state data. Don't create names out of attributes of an object if those attributes are ever going to change. So if you're absolutely certain that a given set of attributes about an object will be that way forever, then it's okay to make the name out of those attributes. But generally, it's a bad idea. It creates a fragile naming and pointer system. Disconnect those. That lets the name persist over changes in location and other attributes. The system itself is logically centralized, but physically and organizationally distributed. So that as a root, DNS is a rough analog to this. And it does one thing, it's a one-trick pony, and we've worked for many years to make it good at this, is that it associates one or more typed values with an identifier. You have an identifier, you resolve it through the handle system, you get a bunch of type attribute pairs back. That's what it does. You get to, the types are flexible, you get to make up your own types, the values are whatever you want to put in there. You can put a fair amount of data in the handle system, but most people use it, and we advise people use it as a pointer system to other things. We've optimized it for speed, especially resolution speed. We'll trade administrative time for resolution time when we can. It carries its own PKI, which we can talk about in more detail if people are interested. Open, well-defined protocol and data model. And again, it's a piece of infrastructure. It's grown up in the digital library world, but and I had written this bullet quite some time ago. It's been tried by other people for network management, so it seems especially appropriate here, and identity management as well. So here's a sort of a logical drawing of a handle record. You can think of them as tuples. So you'll see that the handle itself, that's a handle, is in two parts, a prefix and a suffix. The prefix is what you get from the central authority. The suffix is what you make up yourself. And then, you know, if this were a database, I'd show that repeating. Then you have type value. And I'm not showing a lot of stuff to the right there, things like TTL, place to put the signatures, that sort of stuff. We use it, we administer it ourselves using public key technology. So these handles can be for people, and that's where you get a public key, and the protocol is set up to manage that fairly well. So you get to those records by sending handles to the handle system. So assume a client, it could be another network, it could be a person, you know, a piece of software in a computer. Anything that understands the handle protocol. It has its own protocol. And you give it a handle, and it resolves it by sending it to the handle system. The handle system is a set of handle services, one of which is unique, the root global handle registry. It knows where all the other handles live. All the other handles live in local handle services. There are many more than four of them. And those services consist of sites. The sites are replicants of each other. So if that handle service up there is responsible for a million handles, each of these four sites will also have those million handles. One of those sites will be the primary site, and all administration will be done there. Then the sites are where you get down to the handle servers. In our example of a million, there'd be a million handles hashed. We use MD5, so you have these guys represent hash buckets, they're servers. That's part of the scalability of it. So in this case, you'd have 200,000 handles at each server. In that case, you'd have 500,000 handles at each server. The clients look at a map that I'm about to show you of the service and know how to get to that hash bucket. So again, a handle client, a little more detail this time. Give it a handle, 10.1000/1. So the prefix is 10.1000. What the handle client knows when it wakes up, if this is a brand new handle client, it knows where global lives. It doesn't know where any of the other handle servers in the planet are, and there are thousands of them. But it does know that if that's a valid handle prefix, there will be a handle in global of the form 0.na/10.1000. We base the system on handle resolution. So every valid prefix is itself a suffix to the prefix 0.na. The global handle registry doesn't know it's doing anything special. It just resolves a handle. And the type value thing it sends back is this map of the handle service, which has the sites and the servers, like the ovals I showed just a few minutes ago, IP addresses, ports, public keys. Every server has its own key pair, so you can validate the resolution if you want. And then there's stuff I don't show, including performance data that the client stores so that it becomes self-leveling. The client will first try one randomly. In this case, secondary site A, perform the hash algorithm, that'll take it to server 3 and it'll go there. Next time it'll do another site, and eventually it'll pick the one that performs best. Go there and get it. And how this works practice most of the time, a lot of handles are buried inside URLs. We and others run series of web to handle proxies. Those talk to the handle system. Now everything I showed before is that bottom oval. Get handle data back. Since it's talking to a web browser, it just sorts out URLs, finds a URL, sends that back as an HTTP redirect. They're of that form. HTL.handle.net is a set of proxies that we run. There's a bunch of them all under HTL.handle.net, load balanced. Alternatively, you can take all that handle proxy code, stick it right into either a web browser plugin or your own dedicated client and talk directly to it, avoid the middleman. The same is true of administration, and I should point out here that the administration is distributed. If you have permissions to, you have edit permission on a given handle and you have the proper certificates, private key to demonstrate that you have those permissions, you can edit a handle on a system run by someone you never heard of and they never heard of you. And that's at the individual handle. It's actually at the individual handle value level. And of course you can embed those in other processes. Now we thought some, but again we're new to this, about Gini info model. So this is probably wrong, but I want to demonstrate one of the things that you can do with in adding additional levels of indirection. So here we have a principal ID, so that would be a handle, and the boxes on the right of that are the type value pair, so you'd contact information as a type and then you'd have the data. One of those, the color there is to show that one of those type value pairs could itself be a handle, and when you resolve that handle, you get the permission. So another level of indirection lets you do things like have a given permission type that a million people have. You want to tweak it, you change it in one place, you don't change it in a million places. And so we've tried to imagine how that would work inside Gini. What you keep in the handle system versus what you point to is sort of a continuum. We gravitate towards keeping short little pointer pieces of information in the handle system, but there's no reason you can't keep larger pieces of information if you, 5 minutes, okay? There's a lot left. Okay, who's using it? A lot of people use it. Library of Congress, Defense Technical Information and Clearing Center, IDF, which is all the scholarly publishers, DSpace, I should mention, Hewlett Packard. DSpace is a turnkey digital library system put together by MIT Libraries and Hewlett Packard, Los Alamos National Laboratory, the biggest installation we know of, and we hope Gini. Handle system usage. Spend 1 second on that. The number of assigned prefixes is roughly equivalent to organizations, so there's about 4,000 groups of people running the handle system. The handles themselves, the scholarly publishers call their handles digital object identifiers. You use them if you click on journal references. There's 35 million of those. We don't know how many other, we know that only because we run that service for them under contract. We don't know how many other millions there are, but we know that Los Alamos has 600 million. We were pleased with that. They tried a number of database solutions. It didn't work for them, and they wound up using the handle system. We have standards. Okay, repository notion. So this is the this is actually where we started. And the handle system sort of derives from this idea that there should be a logical external interface to any information storage system full of digital objects. This is a artist's rendition of a digital object. Think about metadata and log data that was talked about in an earlier talk. What we do is the digital object is a set of type value pairs, inextricably linked to each other. So once you put the data with the object, it stays with it. And the protocol addresses these. The attributes are extensible. So, and here's the protocol. Caller ID, object ID, operation ID, input and output. That's the protocol. All those IDs are handles. Here's a picture of that, one way of looking at it. The logical interface, the collection of objects, which are all of that form, and storage underneath. In the DARPA seedling we just did, we demonstrated storage systems, including Amazon S3 file system and another proprietary storage system built by another DARPA contractor. And the layers above don't know where you are, where things are stored, unless you want to know. So that allows you to move things from one place to another without having any effect on the users of the object or the programs that are using it. Again, levels of indirection. Okay, final piece is the registry, which we've built on top of all of these. The idea here was to manage disparate collections, digital objects, by registering those objects. The goal was to federate, manage repositories in different locations, run by different organizations under varied policies. That's why the military came to us for this training stuff. They have things all over the place. They need to federate it without getting in there and managing their stuff. The registration with appropriate metadata enables discovery. That's the goal, and usability. Find it and know if you can have it or not. We've also then had to address federation of registries. So we have the idea of a registry of registries, different levels of data. You either do that through aggregation, like centralized catalogs, or distributed search. We've concluded in the end that there's not a big difference to that. That's an engineering detail. Current projects, the one we're doing for DOD and the DARPA seedling. Let's get that picture. Sure. Well, so if this is a one way of looking at the registry, composable services, metadata about the objects that have been registered. So here are some of your Genie resources, the RSpec things. Maybe here's the resources themselves, whether you keep it with the metadata or not is another implementation issue. And services built on top of those for which we have a composition, a composable approach framework. Now, how would all this work in Genie? We have a big poster in which we've tried to imagine, based on a few days of reading the documents, how this all works. Whether we got this right or not, I don't know. But we looked at experiment control tools. We think our composable services framework would be of use there, up into the registries. So the registries would include the handle system, the stuff I talked about before, the registration. The registration is actually depositing metadata inside these repositories, all of which have these identifiers which can be resolved. And the logic goes from there. That's it.